Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We've been here before. I mean, it really is a new year. It's not 2021 over again. I promise you that. And one of the fun rituals of the new year, of course, is the New Year's resolution, which, you know, I don't know about you. I make New Year's resolutions every year, knowing full well I'm not going to keep them. I just think it's kind of a nice ritual. And I wonder sometimes, though, why do we do that when we full well know we're not going to be able to kind of stick to most of the things that we vow that we're going to do? And I was thinking about it this week, and I think that partly it's the human desire for one of our most primitive and most universal desires, which is that for liberation, you know, to become free. There is also a human desire to be enslaved, which is a different thing. It's a different sermon. We're not going to talk about that today. So watch the 2022 elections, and you'll be able to see that play out, because I think that's a real thing. But there is something about the whole idea of tossing off the shackles of the past, you know, and unburdening ourselves of the weight of the baggage that we carry, that metaphor of carrying heavy baggage around with us, you know, wipe the slate clean, whatever the metaphor is, you know, start anew. This is something that appeals. It certainly appeals to me. Because if you're anything like me, and I suspect that in most ways you probably are, that, you know, there's parts of yourself that you'd just rather not have. You know, things you've done that you don't feel great about, or feelings that you have that you don't really like. I mean, who likes to feel jealousy, for example, or bitterness? You know, I kind of want to be better than that, but, you know, it's there, you know. Or maybe we don't like how we kind of look or sound, or maybe we don't like the way we interact with people. We don't like our own personality, or maybe we want to be thinner or bigger or smaller or smarter or have a better Broadway voice or whatever it is, you know. Or maybe it's just this sort of nagging sense of incompleteness or wrongness that we carry around with us, poor self-worth, we sometimes call it. So whatever it is, I think that the impulse to liberate ourselves from all of that is completely natural. And we've kind of, you know, you might have fantasized about different ways to deal with that in your life. Like, you know, what if I just move to a new city, you know? New name, you know, new profession, just everything starts over again. Or like I watch these movies where people go to masked balls, you know, and they get to be somebody totally different because they have a mask on and nobody knows who they are. I mean, what would it be like? Sometimes I think about that. Like, what would it be like if I didn't have a story about myself? You know, what if I didn't have a story? Oh, I tend to be like this, or I grew up like that, or what if I didn't have any of those? What kind of liberation would be from that? What kind of freedom? And of course, one of the biggest symbolic ways of doing that is to be baptized. You know, you go and you can be baptized and you have all of your sins washed away and you start anew. You might wear white. You know, it's not for nothing that big mega church out here called New Beginnings, right? New Beginnings, that's a great marketing technique for them, you know. Come here and you'll be able to start anew. Forget about all that other stuff and you'll be new. And I totally love this idea. I really do. But, you know, there are problems with it. Just like New Year's resolutions are often doomed, I think this attempt to cleanse or purify oneself has some problems too. Now, you can change your behavior. Don't get me wrong. I mean, many of you have done this. I know. You can quit smoking. You can exercise more. You can eat better food. These things you can do with willpower and sometimes with family support. You know, you can drink less. You can do things to change your behavior. You can even perhaps begin to see yourself with a little more compassion. You know, like if you go to one of these New Agey workshops, which I've been to many of, you can do a little exercise where you visualize yourself as a small baby, you know, a small baby who's, you know, with whatever troubles they're having, you still love and care for them and want to support them. What if you could have that same love and care for yourself? as you are. Wouldn't that be amazing? That kind of exercise, actually, it's kind of fun, and it's kind of healing. But it's just also true that no matter how many workshops you go to or self-help books you read or exercises you do, you can't erase your past. You know, you can't eliminate feelings that you don't like from your psyche. You know, you can't change the fact that if you're lucky enough to age, you'll fall apart. Many of you can, you know, can resonate with this one with me. You know, I mean, it's just going to happen. You know, I often say to myself, geez, I better get out and do stuff because I'm not going to be young and pretty forever. You know, but, you know, these things happen. You can't stop that from happening. You are always going to be imperfect. You know, you're always, your relationships are going to be imperfect. You're never going to be as good as you want at everything. That's just the way life is. It's just normal. So that's one problem, is that it's kind of doomed, that approach is kind of doomed to failure. The other part is that one of the main things that we try to do when we get caught in this desire to liberate is we try to purify ourselves. And I don't mind that desire to try to purify ourselves. I think it's noble, it's beautiful. And you can see rituals, religious rituals around a world like this, you know, like washing your hands or your feet before you go into a house of worship, you know, this wearing of special clothing, things like that. But man, it's just a tiny step from wanting to purify yourself to demanding that everybody else be pure in the way that you want them to be. And that step, which many people have taken, takes you directly to things like ethnic cleansing, purges of the Communist Party in the 1930s in the Soviet Union, politicians speaking out against gay rights when all they really want to be doing is having their own relationships somewhere and yet they can't quite manage. It's just that attempt to purify and then turn it on everybody else, it's almost always doomed to be oppressive to other people. So I guess what I'm saying is that I think it's natural to want to be liberated from those parts of ourselves that we don't like very much, but attempting to do it ourselves is, I think it's doomed to failure, okay? And we're doomed to failure, not only that, but if we keep trying to do that, to get rid of those things we don't like, we're going to oppress somebody else in the process. It's almost guaranteed. So what do we do? I mean, you've got the situation where there's all this difficulty in your past and your feelings and all that, and you want to be liberated from that, and yet you know that if you're going to try to get rid of it, it's going to be hopeless. As far as I'm concerned, there is only one solution to that, and that is to let yourself be saved. And now you're all like, wait a minute. You know, I came here for a nice little UU sermon on New Year's resolutions, and now we're into salvation. But hang with me here. I do think that we need to reclaim the word salvation. We need to be able to talk about it. I think it's got a really powerful message. And what all I'm saying is that, you know, kind of a little bit like in that opening quote by Jack Kornfield, you know, coming to peace with who we are is really important. Coming to terms, being able to accept who we are. And you hear about this a lot. Oh, self-acceptance, love yourself, be friends. I just don't think our hearts are big enough to do it. I don't think that I can be compassionate enough to really love myself in all of my flaws. I just don't think I can do it. But I do think that there is a way to let go of the kind of forced attempt, I must love myself, accept myself, to let go of that and kind of reorient and say, well, what if I just kind of let myself be accepted? What if I let myself say, maybe I actually just do have a place in this universe? You know, maybe no matter who you are, no matter how flawed you are, no matter how imperfect you are, maybe, what if you just have a place in the universe? It's just your birthright. I mean, to me, this is the essence of the first principle of Unitarian Universalism, the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. That it's not worth that you get by being good enough. It's not worth that you get by signing up for the right workshops or by signing the right declarations of faith or by earning enough money or by accumulating enough merit. You simply have it because you have been born on this planet. And as a member of the human race, that's who you are. You are, it's like they sing in the Christmas carol, you know, every child is a holy child. Not just the one who came so many years ago. And actually, I think this is the true method, the message of Christianity. I mean, I think, but this is my interpretation of Christianity, it has nothing to do with scripture or with doctrine or with God or frankly with Jesus either, except for the fact that Jesus becomes the embodiment of that acceptance from the universe. And you can conceptualize it that way if you want, if you're a Christian, but I don't think you need to. I mean, I think it is why Christianity is so popular. It brings a message of salvation that is deeply needed, but there's no reason to leave it just to Christianity. Everybody needs this. And there's no reason that we should say, oh, well, we're just going to let them deal with that issue, and we're going to try to find some other way. No, salvation is for us. It's for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. And it's nothing complicated. It's just the universal longing to be a part of the bigger whole, to realize that despite our flaws, we have worth and dignity. It's just the experience of letting go of that attempt to make yourself right, to be good, to live up to a standard that you set to yourself or that other people set for you that's unlivable. It's the experience of just letting yourself be a part of the universe, a family, a congregation, a workplace. And the thing about this, at least in my experience, is that paradoxically, if you give up that attempt to meet those standards and you simply let yourself be, you get freed to become a better person. You get freed to be more loving, to be more compassionate, to be more kind, to be more generous. Because when you start to do those things, you realize how much joy they bring you. You're doing it not because somebody tells you you're a good person if you give your money to the church or wherever you. You do it because, whoa, I just helped this person out. That makes me feel really good. I was just nice to this whoever. You know, it's a kind of a cycle that begins to repeat itself. But it can only happen if you're not fighting against yourself. There's kind of a thing that I've always said to myself, which I really think is true, that, you know, when you rebel against something, when you fight against something, you are every bit as controlled by it as if you were submitting to it. You know, think of a teenager rebelling against their parents, you know. Sorry, the rebellion defines you just the way the submission would have defined you. There's something about that energy of fight that makes you be still in relationship and in the same kind of game as whatever it is you're fighting against. So there's something about letting go of the attempt to be better, letting yourself feel that grace of whatever you want to call it, God, the universe, the natural world, that allows you to live the deepest truths of human beings. Now, we're human beings are flawed, don't get me wrong. I mean, we do some really, really stupid stuff all the time. And yet, we have the capacity for such love, such generosity, such creation of beauty. It's there if we just let it flower. So to me, this is the opportunity for a beautiful human experience to open ourselves to salvation. And again, I would encourage you, I know a lot of us have had bad experiences with Christianity. We're not talking about their version of salvation. I'm talking about something that I see as more universal. But we Unitarian Universalists, we don't reject other faiths. We actually get inspiration from other faiths. So we'll use that word and we'll take the best parts of it and we'll say, oh, wow, we recognize that experience of liberation, of opening, of being a part of something bigger. And I don't think it's that complicated. You know, it basically is a simple, like, little list of things that one can do, I think, to move in this direction. I mean, you start by acknowledging what's really true, the feelings you really have, the experiences you've had, the things you've done, being honest about what's really true with yourself. And then, as Jack Kornfield says, you come to terms. You don't necessarily say, oh, well, I know I have jealousy, I'm just going to let it fly. No, you acknowledge, I have jealousy, I own it, and now I have a choice about what I'm going to do with it. And then you kind of accept that there's just no way. There's no way on your own initiative, with your own will, you can make yourself flawless or perfect. You give up the struggle. You let yourself be accepted. You know, and you let yourself define it the way that works for you. If you define it as being a child of God, fine. Being a part of the divine self, being a part of the natural world, whatever it is, you let yourself be a part of that. You let yourself be supported by it. And then here's, I think, probably the most important one. You realize that no matter the stories you hear, when people tell you, oh, I had this experience and now everything is different. You know, I was converted and now, you know, I get baptized and now. It's not like that. Yes, we have experiences where the scales fall from our eyes, but it's still an everyday process. It's a practice. Being present with what's really happening with you, letting yourself be a part of something that's bigger, this is an everyday practice. It goes against every habit that we've learned over our 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of life. So you have to keep sitting. You have to keep breathing. You have to know that every time you look at someone, it's a new opportunity to be with yourself and to be with them. You really can't go on autopilot. Now, if you've been listening carefully to this, you might say to yourself, my, this sounds a little 12-steppy, actually. Or it sounds a little Buddhist. Yes, it does. Yeah, I mean, these are approaches that have thought deeply about what helps people kind of navigate through the difficulties of life. And I think it's entirely and fundamentally and essentially Unitarian Universalist, too. Because like I said before, we don't deny the experiences of other faiths. No. We reach out our hands and say, look, tell us what has enlightened you and enlivened you. And we work with that and find if there's ways to bring it into our lives. And so the fringe benefit of a little salvation in your life is not just that you get to live an easier life or even that you're a more generous and selfless person. It's because it gives you a common humanity with people in other situations, other traditions, people who you would think are utterly different from you. They're still working with this same set of inner spiritual complications. And the answer is still very much a human process. Here I am. How can I be a part of this that's here? So we can not just conceptualize and say that, oh, I'm a part of it. We can actually live it in every interaction with every person, no matter who they are. That's pretty cool. So I'm not against New Year's resolutions. I say, let's make them, even if we know we're not going to live up to them. But maybe when we make them, we might even think for a moment, like, what's the difference between a resolution that I want because I want it, and what's the resolution that comes to me as, oh, this would be a path forward. This would be a way to connect more deeply with myself and with others. This would be a way for me to feel more a part of what's around me. And if we can do that, if we can let ourselves be held a bit by the arms of whatever that is bigger and more mysterious than we can imagine, then we can have a little guideline for how we might take our next steps. So with the new year, I wish peace to you all. Happy New Year, and amen.